I don't want to spend more time in prayer. I'm not going to belabor it, but we'll get it. You know, we're going to more of this word will go along with the prayer because it's our last time in 2019 that we're meeting as men, and so interesting. Looking at Romans 8, and here's the interesting thing. Most people obviously look at Romans 8 and they quote Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And they eisegete, meaning they isolate the scripture, tear it apart. When you got to read 6, 7, and 8 to have any understanding of 8, 8 is the follower to 6 and 7. And when you take them apart, you just blow it. But I'm looking at the whole chapter and it's talking about being shaped into the image of Christ, transformation, metamorphosis. So isn't it interesting that Romans 8:1, you know what I mean, being a defense usually of doing whatever you want, to actually, if you look at it, it's all talking about walking as Christ, transformation, you know what I'm saying, walking according to the Spirit, not, you know, the flesh. And it's interesting, but I was just reading verse 18. And like today, I want us to, we're going to pray a little bit. Like I said, we're not going to be here all day, but I wanted to, just felt like pray for one another. We're at the end of the year. The one thing too, when we have to ask a question is not simply what do we do, but what are we becoming is a bigger question. If I simply focus on Christian like duty or actions, it's believe me, actions in the end are going to matter totally. But what I am becoming is really more of the question. What I do doesn't necessarily mean it represent who I am if it's out of sync. So a lot of Christians run around and they do Christian things. But what I'm becoming, a son of God, what I'm becoming, being transformed into the image, is actually the critical thing. What am I becoming? Because a lot of times if I start looking at what I'm becoming, then I get into where God puts that mirror on my life, because that's what counts. You get what I'm saying? It's like, I remember Keith Green had a track about transformation. And on the front picture, there's this kid or something, and he's got like, you know, a gun and booze and a bag of dope in his hand. And there's this placard, this like poster board, you know, like you see in the video stores, you know, and it's Jesus. And he's got a hand on a handle behind the image of Jesus, and he's behind it walking around. And it's really critical. But what you are becoming is what's really going to cause what you do to be of Christ, because it comes out of who you are versus put on. And this is really critical, because we lose track of that. We focus on what we do so much that we forget it's got to come from what we are becoming, and we're becoming in the image of Christ. If we are, there's also the if. But just was reading in 18, and I want to pray. Father, we just come to you. We're in the last week of, last days of 2019. We're heading into a new year, and Lord, I would pray that there would be blessings on this new year for every one of us, but what I want to see, myself, even in myself, transformation for every one of us, transformation, God. And we lift up anybody missing Dallas, lift him up this morning. And I just pray that as we can lay hands on each other today and just seek your face, you would bless us, God. You would move us, because again, What I become is going to really bleed out to what I do. And let that birthing of sons of God be in this place. Let a transformation continue on of what we are becoming. Because according to everything we're looking at in this scripture, it's so critical of what you've made us to be. Lord, as I see Jesus walking around and he did the works that the Son of God could do, I understand the pattern for all of us. He can no more not be the Son of God than he was. And as he lived, as he walked, as he got into situations, he did what the Son of God does. And in this same way, as we become made into the image of the Son of God. In fact, that transformation is also really critical, that we act out from who we are becoming. So I pray that blessing this morning as we are here. And I pray as these closing moments of 2019, in a way I'd love to go out on a high note. So your blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah, I also want to connect it too, because a lot of times when you kind of look at, you know, transformation, it's going to be really critical that it continues to go on, all right? And I want to go up to 18. And Paul's talking about, he says, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Simply put, Paul is talking about suffering for the name of Christ, suffering because you're obeying Christ, suffering because of who they were becoming. Suffering had a meaning because it many times was connected directly, you know what I'm saying, to who they were, sons of God, the actions they took, sons of God. And he's just saying, because many times we've thrown the suffering thing general. I remember I had problems when I had come back to the Lord, and my life was not as consistent, and I suffered. You know, I mean, I put myself in many a pickle. Like, meaning a lot of my problems I had, I created. There's no doubt about it. And some of the problems that I created weren't of God. They weren't even remotely. They were from me being carnal. They came from actually living wrong sometimes. And I remember, yeah, my brother came up to me and he read that verse out of, at that point I was playing the martyrs, you know, woe is me and I'm the martyr for Christ. And he wrote that verse that said, it does no benefit if you suffer for doing evil. But if you suffer for doing good, it's a good thing. And I remember how kind of crashing down my world, meaning a lot of what you're going through, you continuously bring on yourself because you're being carnal. And it's not going to really benefit you to suffer for your own carnality. It's going to benefit you as you suffer for doing what is right, you know, and living out for that. But it goes on to 19. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. This is an incredible statement, because what it is talking about, the creation, the earth, everything natural that surrounds us is, according to the scripture, groaning and waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Not just each other, not just the heavens, but the whole natural order we sit on waits for the birthing of the sons of God. That's an incredible thing. We look at the earth, we look at nature, people, you know, look at nature in different ways, but the earth actually is groaning. You can't hear it. He's not saying that the earth, that the trees have hands and eyes and want to have a conversation. But it's almost like saying on a cellular level, on a molecule level, on and every atom level, it groans in its sense, is like groaning for, as we are going to be birthed as sons of God. That's an incredible thing, to know that everything that surrounds you groans for what you are becoming. That's a heavy thing. And again, I'm not trying to get real cosmic with this, but it's in the scripture. And it's a beautiful thing. You know, it's funny. We live in a world, and I understand the world, like in the sinful world, and many times Christians bemoan how wicked the world is, and I get all that. But when you think about you know, you're walking on a ground and the very elements in themselves are groaning for the birthing of the Son of God. That's what it's all about, Jesus. It's interesting that the whole creation and the sum total of it actually is groaning, because it's like being in labor with childbirth, waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. That's actually what it claims nature is doing. And this is something people miss a lot, because they read over this and it sounds good, but they don't really break it down of how really what Paul's getting this. But it says, and not only this, but also we ourselves having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. There's an old saying that we have been saved, we are being saved, and our salvation will be complete in the end. Now what's interesting about this, this also speaks of, there's going to be a day where this mortal shell is going to be replaced by immortality. Now, I remember when I was younger preaching, I would say, you know, this shell's going to be replaced by immorality. And somebody would correct me and say, no, that's immortality, because you get a weird tongue twist in that thing. But the Spirit of God also is groaning. So there's a couple things. What we are becoming is Jesus. But there will be a fullness of it. But remember what I said, you've been saved, you're being saved, and your salvation will be complete. But according to this scripture, not until the redemption of the body, then it's complete. Did you notice how we teach salvation like a contract? You know what I mean? You came to the altar, you cried some tears, you said, Jesus be my Lord, and the deal was set. I love how in the scripture, unlike man's religious view of this, it's not done. It doesn't mean you're less saved or less going to heaven, but it teaches your Christianity as this full-out journey that has an end to it, entering into eternity with the redemption of your body. For in the hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he has already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. Now there's two senses. There's the adoption, and someday this mortal body of Mike is done, and that is going to be put on by immortal. But there's also this groaning in ourselves as we are becoming sons of God, as more and more of Jesus is manifesting. Everything points to this. The devil loves to take Christians and he loves to get them off center. It may be a subject that is in the Bible, but Jesus is not only the head, all things are connected to him, even the creation. So it's interesting. It's pointed. It's narrow. What we are becoming is narrow. And I would say this, we must stay attached to the head, Jesus. We must understand. But in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit, that Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And again, I want to go back to the beginning. Many times people quote Romans 8:1, I have, you have, we all have, but it's important that it goes with 6, 7, and 8 chapters Romans, and it's pointing to being transformed. It's pointing to metamorphosis. It's pointing to no longer walking in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit, becoming, walking in the process of what you are becoming. You know, early on when I was a freshman year in Bible school, people talked about callings a lot, because what is a student goes to Bible school because he says, I'm going to be a minister. You know what I mean? They're going to train to further their knowledge for the thing they're called to. And it was all good, but I got to tell you, from the day I walked into my Synoptics gospel class to now is very different. Because then the focus was always on how God would use me, what I would be. The task I would have, but it's interesting, and I would love to see colleges put in a course on what we are becoming really dictates kind of the call, because no matter what the call is, you're going to do it as a son of God, and the success of the call is going to be directly connected to the metamorphosis of you becoming a son of God. And I say becoming because we are progressively being shaped into the image. We're going to become more and more and more like a son of God. But keep something too, and I really sense this in the Lord. As you guys all know, again, there's so many sidetracks people get on in the scripture. This, that. I hear it all the time. It's not odd. I hear all the time things that take away from what we are becoming. All kinds of things. And in fact, many times talks of power and anointing, and many times it gets disconnected from really every anointing, every empowerment magnifies being a son of God, acting out as a true son of God, doing miracles as a son of God. And it's the enemy's a booger. He knows how to work this stuff. He's real smart. But last but not least, as for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And I've taught on this before, but it is the very thing that we are becoming. But God knows what Mike looks like. In fact, the Lord knows what Mike looks like in the final breath that I'm going to breathe. He knows exactly where I will be in this progress. He knows exactly how much of a Son of God will be manifesting in me. Well, I want to take that back. He actually knows what he has planned, what he has foreordained, and meaning the Son of God you, we are becoming, is this is what God has ordained. So he has seen what you can look like in the greatest thing. He has seen what Matt is going to look like when Matt has become, when Matt becomes all that God is making him, when Mike becomes all that God is making him, Don or Josh or Armand, when we, he sees the fullness of what we are meant to become like. So I want to encourage this, because it's like I had a vision, a mind's eye vision. Matt, I was sharing it with you, and I was sharing it with Armand. Did I share that with you? Mm-hmm. That we, the anointing of God moved in us, and I saw people in the church in the living room, and then I saw us kind of go out the door, and it's almost like we moved as one pulse, and we exited the front door. We left the sanctuary and went out into the world. And the Lord showed me, go forth, that's what happened, go forth. And I thought, the anointing of God, we need to be sent forth rather than walking forth. And what I mean, let me explain this. There's, when the glory of God begins to change you and the Spirit of God begins to transform you, there will be a natural outflow that you go forth in the power of the Spirit. One thing that Pentecost taught us, and being a charismatic, I've covered Pentecost a lot, it shows that anointing of God, it shows that glory first pouring into the believer, and the outpouring launches the believer out to go forth. Many times we simply go forth. Now my pastor, my rabbi, he said a saying that I always remembered, and he said, some are sent, some just went. Sometimes we just went. Sometimes it's important that we are sent. This is one of the problems with so much of Christian activity, is people do Christian things, but they're not sent forth. They're not really launched from the presence of the Lord. They're not launched from the glory of God. They're launched from, I want to do a Christian thing that's in the Bible. But people in the Bible were sent forth. They didn't just go. Now, what I'm saying doesn't lessen the works of sons of God going out into this world. It actually, I believe, increases when they do go out. It increases the harvest. It increases what they're getting done. This is real critical. For a long time, we've said, it's simply enough that I do this or do that, but it's not. It's simply enough that I get sent forth from the Spirit of God and that I actually bear real fruit off what I'm doing. Many Christians are titillated and thrilled to do something that they see, you know, what they do has kind of a reflection of something they saw in Scripture. But Scripture itself teaches us about this going forth and going forth as sons of God. But this is kind of what was in my spirit this morning. I want us to pray a bit because I want us to get to that place. And I might do one worship song with us, but I want us to head into 2020 in this new year, working in that anointing. We've talked about this before, heading forth in intercession, heading forth in prayerfulness, heading forth in the anointing. But I want you to ask the Lord something too. I'm simplifying it a little bit to say, Lord, I want to go forth. I want your glory to touch me and moves me out. It launches me to something. It brings me to something. Lord, I want your glory to transform me. You know, it's interesting, we talk, you know, like people say, I want to be a good Christian. I'm good with that. I want to be a good Christian by being a son of God and by developing. It's progressive, but I want to make sure I get a hold of this. And again, I never want to be one that was just, you know, I don't want to be the ones that, you know, I just went and somewhere sent. I want to be sent. I want the glory of God to launch me. And it's interesting, if you think in this way, your sensitivity and your spirit will start honing in to being sent. It changes the way you look at things, because then we begin to say, Holy Spirit, guide me. Where do you want me to go? And we'll get used to that pulse where the Spirit of God begins to guide us where we start to head. This is a different approach, because, and even today, I'm not teaching anymore this morning, because many times what we keep doing is, teaching is awesome. Sermons are awesome. Messages are awesome. We're behind it. In fact, it's good to see that there's multiple guys that share, that actually can teach, that can preach on Wednesdays or preach and teach in the Scripture. But there's another thing of prayer. what we do in a lot of Christian circles is it's like osmosis. We just keep hearing lessons. We keep hearing lessons. We keep preach. But I want the word to get into me and actually become. And let me tell you something. Many people would laugh at the difference and they would miss the point. We oftentimes, you know, somebody needs a breakthrough and they keep reading verses. Like osmosis, just keep reading these verses. Well, the word wants to become flesh in you. And many times there's a part of prayerfulness, getting on your hands and, you know, getting on your knees before the Father, an actual transformation where what you're reading grafts and it seeds and it starts to become. You start to become, that word of God begins to get flesh. We are endless in our lessons, but we are shortchanged on metamorphosis many times and the transformation that is required. I used to read a massive amount of scripture a day. I'm not kidding. 40, 50 chapters a day, per day. Did that for a lot of years. And the Lord began to hone it down and say, Mike, you know, how about seeing part of what you're reading, grafting into your actions, grafting in you becoming that? And I thought, wow. So I actually slowed down my intake because we still have this mentality of this kind of information osmosis. I'll just keep reading the latest, newest, and this spiritual thing and hearing this, and we keep hearing it, and it all becomes. Actually, it goes back to the lecture format, to where we just, when we want to see change, we just take in more information. There's so much information in the guys in this room right now that, quite frankly, if God harvested 20% of what's been taught, we could save a nation. Now, not downing any of us, I'm part of this group, but this whole issue of, you know, knowledge osmosis that turns into some kind of reality. The Word of God is meant to become flesh in you. The Word of God is meant to become flesh in me. This is real critical. This is what we are becoming. And again, sometimes there's these finer points that it's interesting. You can just look at something a little bit differently and miss the whole point. It's like if you change the angle of information sometimes, it can thwart you. The Church of God, here's what I believe even prophetically. The Church of Jesus in the United States is going to be going through a bit of a paradigm shift because God is going to be sending forth in true power. There are going to be churches that have endless activities, but God's going to have them start to reweigh the value of what they're doing and to start to listen to what they're becoming. Does that make any sense to you guys? He's going to start changing the format, and they're not going to be satisfied with simply doing some things that they see in the Bible and imitating them, but there's going to be truly things birthing from the Spirit of the Lord, and it's going to begin to manifest, and the church is going to go forth, and it is going to be sent. It will not have just went. It will be sent. And people won't say, you know, any activity, it's good to just have something going on. They're going to say, we're having going on here with the Spirit of God is birthing in us. That's going to be a change, and it's going to be a shift, because I think of so many times where I've heard people say, and it's not just one person, I've heard many Christians say, I'd rather do something than nothing, even if it isn't God. Really? Would you rather do something rather than nothing? That represents restlessness, impatience. That's carnal. That's actually carnal. Will any good work come out of carnality? No. But good works will come out of the Spirit of God fusing. But if you're a reader, I encourage you to keep reading. We need a scripture every day. We really do. But as you're reading, you want to be asking the Lord, this is part of what you want to become flesh in me. This becomes a living reality as I walk around and I live. I'm going to be the manifestation of the Word become flesh. Absolutely. You know, Jesus gave us an image. There's only one, you know, forsaken Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God, God the Father, God the Son. But we are sons of God. He was the firstborn among many brethren, giving us an image. We are his brethren. He is our Savior. It is in our DNA what we are becoming. So I want to encourage you today going into 2020. But why don't we just, I want us to just take just a little time in prayer today. And I want you to pray out. And I want you to pray out. Because I want this last meeting to be a combination of some word, and we'll close with a worship song. And don't worry about fancy prayers. We just want to pray God's heart this morning. Father, even today, we just seek you out. Lord, there are real needs for Mike. There are real needs for Don. There are real needs for Armand and There are real needs for Matt and real needs for Josh. There are real needs for Dallas, who isn't here this morning. But we wish to more and more become what we're meant to be. Send us forth, Lord. Let your Spirit build up in our lives. Let your Spirit continue to transform. The whole creation groans, waiting for the adoption of the sons of God, waiting for the fulfillment. And even as we walk around in this earth, not even speaking of the system, the bad system called the world, but rather the world you created, even the things that surround us groan for liberation. The trees, everything groans. So because right now, the way it is, things birth and then they die. They get older, then they die. There is a, Lord, I think of foreign lands I've been into where even where great church history existed and it's 20 feet underground and they're digging it out. Because we are in a perishing age where things do, they die, they become fossilized, they get buried. But the whole creation is yearning to be liberated into the immortal realm. It's so critical, but my heart's cry today is really simple. Lord, I as a believer, I think I speak for everybody. We've many times focused on what we're going to do. And Lord, I want all of us focused on what would you have us do. But it's connected to what we are becoming, and it is progressing with what we are becoming. And even as we do it, even as we do it, the game is changing. Even as we do it, everything is changing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We are indebted to you. We are indebted to you this morning. Holy Spirit, solve the problems. There are things that we fight with that we're becoming. There are things we fight with that there are hindrances that slow it down. When I look at my brothers and I see you working in their lives, I see transformation. I see a progression because it's going to be less of us and more of you, Jesus. But you would bring about that transformation. Yes, 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 yes. You are good, you are good, you are good, God. Holy Spirit, we just, we welcome you. We want to be those receptacles. And I know you're shaping us. But we welcome your empowerment today. We know that as you move us, as you prompt us, as you send us forth, you will be working, meaning the miraculous, not just in one area. Lord, it's a miracle to give a prophetic word from the Spirit to someone. It's a miracle to see a healing. There are many miracles, some obvious, some less obvious. We are obviously sons of the Spirit here. We are sons of the Spirit. We are, sons of God. And it is, and we need, Lord, that empowering going forth. Lord, even those prompts, and Matt has testified many times about stores he stopped in to and given a word, and he's pitching his ear to hear you. We need it. Again, that's going forth. We're driving somewhere. Your Spirit prompts us to go here, speak what I tell you. And there's so much a need. Lord, you have shown me there's a lot of supernatural activity. One time you called him, and we'll get church meetings, and you get some guest speaker, and he'll say some words prophetically. But some of it is a dog and pony show. It really is. It's a dog and pony show. It's a bunch of Christians getting thrilled with each other. But I look in the scripture and I find, you know, the world being ministered to. I find the guy at 7-Eleven hearing the hearts, his secrets of his heart revealed. That's what I find. And you're doing a shift, Lord, and I sense this real strong. There is a shift. We will be part of a new wave that is going to come over, and it is not going to be the dog and pony show. It is going to be a legitimate Spirit of God activity, not just simple fortune telling, as we see so many times, Lord, so many men running around the body of Christ, and you want to send us forth. Lord, in all the church in America's bragging, glory going forth to me has been very little. There's a lot of oohs and ahs, but there is a lot less of your pleasure, Father. Lord, I don't pray today as one who has mastered all things. Gosh, so far from it. But I cry out as a son this morning. And we want to be those agreeable temples of the Holy Spirit, those agreeable receptacles. We want to be channels, not vaults. We want you to be able to pour into us, and so we pour out. And we understand how critical this is. We understand how crucial this is. We understand it. We do. We grab it, Father. We grab it today. Lord, there's a supernatural touch for Mike, for Armand, for Matt, for Josh, for Don. There's a specificity, even this morning, for each one of us. And there is an affecting Holy Spirit that comes from you. And that's really, transformation comes from you. Change comes from you. Actions that are redemptive come from you. In ourselves, we could do nothing except imitate. And you've not called us to imitate. You've called us to be the real McCoy. You've called us to be that vein of the Spirit into this earth. And I am praying more and more and more. More and more and more. More and more. To walk with you. I pray, Lord, you would do through us. You can do to us what you're going to do through us. And I pray we would become the visual witness of the glory of God. We would become those avenues when we walk into a room that, because there's such a conviction on us personally, conviction will be gained off of our very presence and speaking to people. Lord, we want to be saturated. We want to be saturated to where when we get into a place, the aroma of Christ and of glory and your Spirit is just flowing off of us. We want to be bigger receptacles. We want to be more free-flowing channels of your power. That is the secret, Lord. For those of us who cry out, want to get this one thing, we want to see it change, or these 10 things. It's going to come from beholding your glory as we pray, as we spend that intimate time. No man's going to come to your presence, God, in a legitimate way, acknowledging it and sitting with you. We don't come out the same. Lord, many times we're talking to you, but we're talking at you. Many times we're sitting there, but it's more religious. We're not really making the connection as we bow our knee. And yet, Lord, you're calling us to more and more and more, make a better connection with you. And as we make a better connection with you, stuff starts shedding. Stuff starts falling off. That carnality starts falling off. Thank you, Father. I ask as this day goes forth that we would touch your heart, you would touch us. Lord, I don't know what you have for each guy sitting here today. I don't know what your plans are, and I know we have all got, I've got actual things I need, I have to do. I got actual places to be. But 2,000 years ago, you know, I don't think the season matches, but God the Son became flesh in a stable in Bethlehem. The Word became flesh. And Jesus, you grew in stature and favor with God and men. And then at 33, your ministry begins. So I even pray right now. Now as this Christmas season is upon us. Lord, I'm happy to know that there will be people all over acknowledging that Jesus was born, that he actually, there was a real historical Jesus. A man named Yeshua that was born in Bethlehem, and he was manifested to the world and then became the one and only sacrificial lamb. He's the only one that could die on our behalf. But I pray an anointing today that your visitation as we go forth would be on everyone here, everyone. It would be on Dallas too. He's not here, but he's part of our family. Would be on John, who is, you know, and if I talk to him, he has a hard time, you know, talking much. But you would touch his body right now. We need that work, God. I worry about John. I do. You would touch John. Put that in your hands, though. Put that in your hands. I pray for John. Protect him. Protect him. Put a hedge about him in the name of Jesus. Touch him, God. Lord, I pray even as we just do a worship song, I just pray, God, even now, just touch our spirits. We just want to work in that mantle of glory that you're putting on our lives. We want to work with and we want to work through that mantle of glory you're putting on our lives. Touch us, God, today. Touch us, Father. Want to be part of that, Lord, even as we would get to worship just again. There's another wave coming in the Spirit, and this is going to be unlike the dog and pony show. It's going to be unlike just simple displays. It's going to be works that go deep, works that go broad, works of glory that are unmistakable. Not where Christians are merely getting titillated over a little bit of information, not just where maybe someone speaks a couple of facts they shouldn't know, but where it goes deeper, where lives are transformed. Lord, your prophets through history revealed the heart of God. They revealed the heart of God, and sometimes they revealed the heart of man, and many times the closet that was secret became public knowledge. Because when something becomes light, something becomes visible, it truly can be broken off. And even as we go forth, we so desperately want to be a part of being those sons of God and being those sons of light, of being those who have went through the purging process, who have went through the refiner's fire and come out on the other side.